This episode is sponsored by Masterworks.io, where you're invited to join an exclusive community investing in blue chip art. Visit Masterworks.io, promo code DHU.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's halfway through February. It is the 16th.
Yep. I feel like today is... this is something like February 16th is something like I'm forgetting somebody's birthday. I'm forgetting somebody's my anniversary or something. I don't know. Something
probably forgot Valentine's Day.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. It was kind of uneventful this year. It was on a Sunday. I went to the club for a little brunch, hang out at the pool. But that was about it for
what
the club
day. Is this?
The Lauderdale Yacht Club. Yes. Come down and visit me at the yacht club, will you?
The Lauderdale? It's not the Fort Lauderdale?
Nope. It's called the Lauderdale Yacht Club, LYC.
Is there a Fort Lauderdale Yacht Club too?
There may be a Fort Lauderdale. This is some spectacular. We tore down the old building. The first building was built in 38. The second building was built in 78. And this building started in 2018. It was ready last year. It's quite the building. We have an amazing lot on the point in Fort Lauderdale, about a half mile away from the ocean. It's quite gorgeous. A lot of fun there. All right, well, let's talk about some of the things that are going on right now. Markets and investors are betting on both an elongated lockdown and at the same time, miraculously, an immediate reopening. It seems that either one of those
can't go wrong.
No, can't go wrong. Just got both sides of the equation covered no matter what happens. We had an impeachment but not guilty verdict. This week.
That's a big shock.
Yeah, exactly. The KRI, the key reversal indicator, has been clustering at a +5 overheat. Even though you don't like that, I always think we should mention it just to talk about that because it's kind of, I like the indicator. I think it's important. Pot stocks.
Yes, an indicator I don't follow.
Yep. The pot stocks are burnt out.
That's the end of them?
Yeah, they may have another. I think there may be one more potential leg, and then, but not like we saw last week. That crazy, 50, 100% moves in a day.
That was ridiculous.
Yep. Apple seems to be hitting on all car companies. Got some stories on that. And we have the ever-present annual polar vortex. Arctic blast, which is, I guess, a polar vortex.
Yeah, which has gone down to Texas.
Yeah. I talked to Adam today.
Did you know?
He's still out of power. What does he have? He has a gas-powered, I guess, stove, and he also has a fireplace, so they're staying warm.
Yeah, they have the heat is gas, and they have cooking things. You can go to a camping store and pick up a couple of lamps. Those work. The little high-pressured ones. I can't remember the name of the company, but I always have them around so I can just turn on a lamp. It's like a 300-watt bulb, very bright. And you got gas in the house. You can keep warm, and you can cook. So what else do you need?
Yeah, well, I asked him the question. I said, what do you think is worse? Because he said, it's kind of like what you have with the hurricanes, but just a little different.
So I said, don't think so.
Well, I said to him, what do you think is worse? Is it the idea that there's 90 during a hurricane, it's 90 degree temperatures with 90% humidity or freezing, which is kind of easier to deal with?
It's sub-freezing. It's 18 there or 12.
So Tina said that she's been to both. She used to live in Florida. So she said it's the cold weather is easier to deal with.
Yeah. Well, people are used to the cold weather. It's very common. I mean, it's not common in Texas, but it's common every place else. Washington State, Minnesota, Chicago, the Midwest. Hurricanes are rare.
Right. Fortunately. And they're scary.
You got to nail up boards and you don't know what the thing's going to do.
Well, the new thing is that we have, my house is hurricane glass all the way around.
Yeah.
So we get to watch the storm, which always happens.
What is hurricane glass? Is it plastic?
It's a thick glass.
Well, just a thick glass.
Really thick glass. Yeah. They rate them for the projectile speed that can penetrate it. So it's like, you know, it's rated for 160 mile an hour projectile.
Well, okay. So if a boulder, say the size of a Volkswagen, comes flying and hits that glass, bounce right off.
I don't know if it bounces right off, but it probably won't break it. The door may come down itself, you know, but the glass, I guess, won't break.
There's nothing left but the glass.
Yeah, just standing up there. Well, markets are on a tear. Small caps are up 16% year to date. We're talking about a month and a half. Micro cap stocks up 27%. Big week for economic reports this week, but I don't know. Does that even matter anymore?
It seems not to matter at all. It's what's the point?
What's the point? Because if it's bad news, then we get more stimulus. If it's good news, we have more growth. So it's back to that same idea.
Yes,
that
it's a ridiculous cycle of nonsense.
So what's the point of it all? Does it even matter?
There is no point. They should just stop.
But don't we know?
They should come out with a report and come out and get to the mic and go, you know what? What difference does it make? And then leave.
There was a lot of economic theory that was, or stock market theory and investing theory that was based on economic theory for decades. And that is just gone, or is just cycling away because we have so much stimulus? Which one?
It'll be back.
I mean, I would think that there was something to be said. I mean, they make such a big deal over the GDP print, the initial claims print, the unemployment print, the durable goods, yet it doesn't seem to move the needle. The only thing that seems to be the case is when information comes out, whatever it is, moves markets and usually up. I got to tell you something. I was in the office yesterday on Monday, and I was here early, and the markets were closed. But interestingly enough, my system still rings a bell at 9:30 in the morning when markets open, because it's just based on time. And when 9:30 hit, even though the markets were closed, futures shot up.
Huh.
So I think there is something about...
Yeah, the computers are working by themselves.
Exactly what's happening. It's exactly what's happening. They're programmed to bounce on the open and see if anybody hits and see what happens and then just go from there. Yep.
It's all jokes on them.
Yeah. Crude oil surpasses $60 per barrel. Who would have thought that, right?
I'm very surprised by this action.
I mean, well, right now I think 2/3 of the crude oil. I think it was the drilling or was it the refining is offline due to the polar vortex. So that's a bit of an issue there. But yet at the same time, it was climbing to that level anyway. It only went from about 58 last week to 60 right now. But the point here is that what's interesting is that we have all this stuff that is going against the potential for a supply-demand increase in demand because OPEC is constraining the supply. And at the same time, we know that, you know, planes aren't flying or cars aren't driving as much. And there's still the idea that, well, you know what? It's going to have a reopening and things are going to get a lot better, but it's all artificial right now because of the fact that we have this thing called OPEC that is squeezing. Now, possibly shutting down the pipeline, which Biden did, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, may have something to do with that. But that was more of a transportation versus anything else, right?
Yeah. They just transfer. They take that same oil and they still ship it via a rail car.
So I'm not exactly sure what anyone's thinking. You know, it's like, okay, the dollar's down. So, okay, crude is in dollar terms. I can go with that.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's a small percentage.
Yeah.
It's not, it wouldn't drive it to 60.
Yeah. Bitcoin, yeah, we have another record close, closing up to and surpassing 50,000 today on a quick jump. It took like, I looked left, I looked right, it was 49,000 change. Then I look over, it's like 50,800 or something like that. And then it dropped right back down. So I've been having a lot of discussion about these Bitcoins and the whole concept behind it lately. And there's a lot more conversations about, is this actually a currency, store of value? You know, what is this thing? And the believers, the religious of the coin world are and they become evangelists.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, that's what you do to keep the price. This is like pump and dump.
It's just pump right now. There's no dump.
Yeah, it's always been pump.
But I do see one thing about Bitcoin that's interesting that is going to probably create more of this feedback loop because you only have a limited amount of coins. I think there's 17, I think the number, and I could be totally wrong about this, but I think it's 17 million coins have been mined and 21 million max. So it's interesting because there was a guy on a show today talking about Bitcoin and how this the holders out there, the big holders, the big, you know, who has the big numbers of coins are not selling. So when people come in to buy, it's really pumping up price. I'm thinking, well, if they're buying but nobody's selling, how's that working? Doesn't somebody have to sell?
Well, you can't buy unless somebody's selling.
I mean, they could
or
mine
can
it.
Can you?
I don't know. It's a point, isn't it? Maybe there's some of the mining that's going on, the new discovery, so there's some coin that's being...
You know, right now it takes a long time to mine a coin. You know, we should put our computers together and mine a coin. It'd probably take about a year.
Yeah, well, probably more than that. How much electricity usage? I was in my last office included electricity, and schmuck me didn't set up an entire room full of computers just to run the Bitcoin mining operation.
Yeah,
I'm sure my
should have.
And it was in my lease that they pay electricity. How great!
Yeah, well, you blew it.
I blew it. Japan stocks are at a 30-year high, and we have a Warren Buffett indicator that's in focus.
Okay, well, this is another news to me.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you that are listening and listening on the recorded line in not real time, but just to let you know, we do have a live chat and stream on Tuesday evenings. Go over to dhunplug.com. You can just come on board and chat with us. Okay. Stocks. Okay. So I thought it was really interesting that I started watching all of the global stocks, you know, the various indices, the S&P 500 and the Nikkei, and you look at the German DAX index, and you look at the Vietnamese index. They're all hitting highs. I started thinking to myself, that's kind of interesting. Why is it that everything seems to be hitting highs? It's not like there's a better deal over here or a better deal over here. You know, it's small differentials, of course.
Yep.
And then I realized, you know, this this coordinated stimulus, and we've started a trading fever around the world, whereas everybody's in on the action. So it's not just here in the U.S. that things are going, you know, bonkers. It's everywhere.
Yeah, this is not a good sign as far as I'm concerned, but okay.
And I was starting to think about, is it possible that all these companies out there are doing really well, even in the depths of a pandemic?
Yeah, that seems highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, right? So I kind of came back once again to the idea that the stimulus plans around the world, low interest rates and money being pumped into the system, is overheating markets. But, you know, they're trying to do this to create this wealth effect. And interest rates being low have been, as we've talked about, the narrative about, okay, that's very supportive for extreme multiples. But let me tell you something. The 10-year hit 1.21% today. October was 0.65. I just looked a minute ago. The 10-year is now at 1.3. So we had a doubling of interest rates on the 10-year since October. So that narrative that is being discussed that there is a supportive environment for stock valuations to be extended as much as they are, does that still hold water? Well, I guess it does, right?
Well, it seems so, yes.
I mean, the narrative on one hand is low rates are supportive of stocks. Higher rates are supportive of stocks because that means we're having growth. But the problem is we have the potential for what's called a skew event occurring right now, where that means that you see a rip higher of yields, and that kind of screws with bonds. Prices just fall out, which is to your bond implosion theory, which happened in March, of course.
That thing's getting cobwebs, I have to admit.
Well, you did have it. You know, you had it for a different reason. It was not necessarily the reason you expected, but you had it because of the selling off of every asset class back in March.
Yeah, that wasn't quite the effect that was predicted.
Right.
You know, a couple months. Okay, yep. Great.
So I don't know what it's going to take, because you got to think that the Fed is not too happy, especially with right in front of them is a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that's going to be having to be funded by something, because it's not going to be from taxpayer money with revenue, because we don't have that much revenue to cover this. We still have to pay off the other
debt. Not at all.
So now interest rates higher is going to cost us even more money to get this deal done. So now the debt coverage or the requirement to pay for the debt service is going to be that much higher. Not a good situation. You got to wonder if the talking heads from the Fed, all the ones, a lot of speakers out this week, are going to start trying to talk this all down, or even come out with a rate. What do they call that? They're going to put a rate cap. They'll come out and to do something like that. We'll see. Japanese stocks have capitalized on an anticipated global rebound, with the abundance of cyclical shares such as electronic parts makers, which has been really attracting global investors. And they're up towards 30,000, which could test the all-time high of 38,000 they're talking about now, which was last reached in 1989. We're at a 30-year high right now. The last time the Nikkei traded above 30,000 was August 3rd, 1990, a day after Iraq's surprise invasion of Kuwait.
Well, you know, the thing could make a run. I mean, it's been depressed since 1989.
Yep.
And they never, and all their attempts to adjust to it, you know, by doing this, you know, that, and fooling around with the value of the yen, and they're dicking around with the interest rates. Yeah, it's just, maybe it's just overdue. Maybe all those ideas work after 30 years.
Oh, it takes time.
I don't know.
It takes time. It's like a souffle. It just takes time. Don't look in the oven. Don't look.
Don't slam the door.
Don't look. Eventually, it's going to be just right. It's going to pop up just in the last minute if you just let it sit for long. Do you ever order souffles at restaurants?
Yeah.
You got to always order before the meal kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I'll take the banana souffle, please. How long does that take? It's a good hour and a half. Please order that before the meal.
Oh, when's the last time I cooked a souffle? They don't take that long.
Do you do the water bath thing?
No, I just cook. No, I just cook it at a low heat. No, I've never. Well, maybe I might. Maybe I drop it in the water. I don't know what the point of that is. Just to keep a little moisture in the air, I think. I don't do souffles. I did one maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I thought it was a cool idea, and I made a few spinach souffles, chocolate souffle, but. You know, the temperature of the eggs, there's a lot of too many variables.
Too many variables.
Nobody even thinks of that. I mean, nobody gets that impressed. And so.
And then if it doesn't stand up, once you know, it could be perfect in the oven. You take it out of the oven and it just sags.
It could. Oh, they tend to always sag a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Baking is not my thing. Anything that I could put in exact ingredients, no good. Not doing it.
Yeah. Baking is very strict.
Yeah. So Japan may come back. I think that their negative interest rates have been a hindrance. The lack of population growth and their aging population has been a real big problem for them. But like I said, what we started at the beginning was that everything is moving up. So what the hell? Move these up. Now, it's interesting because Japanese stocks used to have a high correlation to the value of the yen versus the dollar. Well, the value of the yen versus other currencies. And as the dollar has sunk dramatically this year, it has had no impact on Japanese stocks. Because remember, they're a net exporter. So the electronics parts, or the cars, or whatever else they're making is not being affected like it usually is. Nobody seems to care what they spend anymore, because why not? You get free money. You know, yeah, who cares? That's the whole crux of all of this is that there is
free money.
So if we start coming out with even more free money, let me just buy whatever. I was explaining to somebody tonight, they're like, well, what do you mean that, you know, stocks are expensive? I'm like, here's the deal. Let's say you go to a store and you like a shirt. You see a shirt on the rack. You like the shirt. You think the shirt should cost about $30. But for whatever reason, that shirt you like, it says it's $800. You're like, you know, all right, okay, I like the shirt, I'll buy it. Now, it could be mispriced, but you still buy it because you just have all this excess money floating around. You don't really care. And if you've ever had one of those...
This is a good point because there's so much of that sort of activity going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I don't care, whatever.
And that's what we talked about last week, like when I was in Vietnam and I got a $10 massage. It's like, I'll do one every single hour I'll do one. I don't care. And that's what's happening, whereas our money has become kind of funny money. It's like, how much is that? Okay, here it is. And when you have not only that, the buy now, pay later model that's going on with eBay, PayPal, Affirm, and these guys are allowing you to very easily, without much of a credit check, just buy something and pay it off over time. And when we've kind of turned our lives into a subscription service, everything that we do,
yeah,
I mean, you know, everything's a lot cheaper. Because if you were to go buy a new car right now, John, let's say the car is, I don't know, pick a number, $35,000, $40,000. Buying it with cash is one thing. It's kind of like, all right, what's the price? Let me figure out how I'm going to, well, what is it? All right, instead it's $350 a month. And the guy says, well, no, it's $400 a month because the way that we capitalize and all, you're like, all right, the extra $50, it's not the greatest deal, but I'll spend it. What's the difference? But the problem is that you have a mindset that, you know, we're used to, and they've been training us to buy things monthly and not really pay attention to the price and inch us up like a Netflix from an $8.95 to a $12.95 to a $14.95.
Yeah, nickel and diming you. That's the old phrase.
Yep. Bringing it on up. All right, we have a Buffett indicator, meaning Warren Buffett. It's getting some play, getting some headlines right now, which probably means it's defunct and not worth anything. But Buffett has said that... this particular ratio is probably the best single measure of valuations and where they stand on any given moment. And the indicator itself doesn't suggest that by hysterical or historical standards that stocks may be expensive now. It does suggest that by historical standards, stocks are expensive right now. So take a look at this chart. What this looks at is the composite market value, total market value of stocks to GDP. Mm. Right now, on January 21st, when it was last updated, we have a 224% ratio of market value to GDP. Now, the last time we got overly ambitious in this area was the year 2000, a few years back in the 60s and 70s. We're 84% higher.
2000 is a big bump. The big bump in the year 2000 when we had the crash.
Yeah.
This one looks like Mount Everest compared to a roller coaster ride. I mean, it's way up there.
So, I mean, it does look like it's a problem here. The question is, how long can this go on? Because everybody's like, you know, I'm waiting for the dip. There's a lot of money on the sidelines. And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? How many dips can we have? We've had, you know, 2% dips that people get crazy about. They're like, oh, I got to buy. I got to get in.
Well, this one here, because I'm looking at this chart. I like this chart.
Yep.
You should definitely check it out. But when you look at it, you can see every single little downturn when it drops below the baseline, which is here called the historical trend line. And it pretty much tells a story. And the story is, this isn't going to go on much longer.
One of two things has to happen, right? Either we have GDP that catches up, and I got to admit that we had some GDP problems, so therefore you have to look at this in that respect. But that GDP problem that we had was somewhat aligned to where that dip happened. See that dip in 2020 there? That kind of moved.
Yeah, the V.
Right. And that was a quick V. Not even like any of the other V's in the past.
No, this is a quickie.
That's a quick. It was like just straight down, straight up.
Well, there was one before the year 2000 that was it's smaller.
Yeah.
But you see that dip there that was kind of like, whoop, a whoopsie-doo. But, you know, this is the trend line is the trend line. And this is a great chart.
So one of the things, if you look at this exponential trend line, it also shows that the market ratio right now, and you look at history and historical trend line, it should be at about 120% to be fairly valued. And right now we're at 224%. That doesn't mean the market has to come down by 100%, but either GDP has to come up very significantly,
but it won't.
Or markets come down, or they somewhere meet in the middle.
How's GDP going to go up much, you know, beyond normal?
Well, I mean,
you have a bump or two because you crank up a bunch of industries that were closed, correct, shuttered.
Right, exactly. That's where we got that big bump to begin with. I mean, they're looking at a 5% GDP for next year, which is, or maybe even 6%, let's say, which is, again, offset because of the fall last year.
Well, if people want to get into the market, I'd suggest taking a good look at this chart.
Yeah, yeah, if you're all in. All right, let's talk about the polar vortex, Arctic blast. Which one is it? Is it an Arctic blast or is it a polar vortex?
Yeah, it's cold weather.
Cold weather. In Texas, we have widespread power outages, airports are closed, delays, energy prices are spiking, crude, natural gas. I think natural gas was up 6% today. Electric prices going through the roof. Crude production is cut by about 2 million barrels per day. What would happen if we only had clean energy? Have you thought of this?
These guys would be dying in the streets.
I mean, can you imagine if we had only wind power as the major provider of electricity in certain areas and they all iced up?
Well, the funny thing is, in the last No Agenda show, Adam was talking about how some new subdivisions in that area of Texas, and Texas in general, is trying to go all electric, which is what happened in Washington State's all electric. And they'd be screwed because, you know, Adam, like you said, is keeping warm because he's got gas. Gas is a big deal. And it's not that, you know, it was probably dangerous in 1921, but it seems pretty safe.
I have natural gas in my house to my stove and my hot water heater, which puts out some seriously hot water.
We have you can turn it up and down if you didn't know. Mm-hmm. We have a stove, hot water, and furnace.
Yeah, so and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the furnace always kind of spooked me, the thought of the pilot flame going out and then just somehow.
When they go out, the little thermistor that's there, it turns off the whole system.
Yeah.
Never fails.
So what about a hydroelectric? What if all the rivers ice up?
Hey, you go all electric, you're asking for trouble.
Mm. But the hits keep on coming. I mean, now we thought we were out of all the bad stuff that happened in 2021. We tried to get it all away from us, and here we are in 2020, now 2021. And now Apple, I want to skip over here for a second. Skip one story down. Electric cars. The question is, are they good for the environment? And this is kind of cool. I grabbed this, The electricity generators by major type and share of total annual U.S. electricity generation is 2019. It's only been getting, it's about the same. But this is interesting. The generator to create electricity. Now, most people don't know this. They think electricity just comes somehow naturally out of the ground.
Oh, it's magic.
It's the plug over there. It's a plug in. Just something comes up, right? In a single cycle for steam turbines, 23% is from coal.
Yeah, I thought that's low, I thought.
So all sources are 47%. That's from that. Now, the combined cycle, natural gas is 32%. But here's the point. Natural gas is not such a wonderful, non-polluting item either. So just remember that you're using coal and you're using natural gas and other substances like nuclear and other things to create electricity. Now, the question I have is, what is the thought of all these people saying that we're going to go electric and we're going to save the environment? They're only looking, I think, at the exhaust from the car.
That seems so, yes. They're clueless.
What is going on?
The system that we have established over the hundreds of years is extremely elaborate and complex. And these simpletons have this just kind of brain dead ideas about, well, my car doesn't burn gas, so the environment's in good shape now.
And here's the other problem. Spot electricity prices in Texas, in their Texas West hub, spiked above the grid's $9,000 per megawatt hour cap. Now, typically power costs about $25 per megawatt hour. Now, eat this, Tesla. The surge in prices was equivalent to the cost of charging a Tesla reaching $900 when it usually costs about $18.
Gee.
So anybody that's plugging in their Tesla right now is eaten some dirt. And not to mention, let's just face the fact and get this squared off once and for all. Can we please, while a Tesla, while an electric car, with Lucid Motor, or any of these other ones out there are efficient, yes, and they are clean energy burning from the aspect of the car themselves, just the car, just that one unit. There's something that goes into it to create the electricity. I just want to make sure everybody's clear on this. Get this kind of put aside. So we're not necessarily saving the world, even though we think we are. Is it better? Maybe. Is it less of overall? I mean, coal is dirtier than crude oil, right?
I'm sorry?
Isn't
coal? Oh, yes. No, coal? Yeah. Well, yes, coal is.
I mean,
but
it's clean.
But coal has been dealt with for so long, and there's all these. There is a, seriously, is a thing called clean coal or clean coal plant. With the various kinds of vibrating beds and all these things they can do with coal, and then they can scrub the stacks and clean it up pretty much. I mean, they can. Over the years, they've made the effluent from a coal-fired plant fairly safe. From, you know, if you want to put the effort into it,
right?
I mean, you can find some place out in the middle of nowheresville, and there's nobody around. They just pump all kinds of garbage into the air. Sure.
Yep.
China.
I want to talk about the Apple car. We have some things that have going on there. I want to talk about also this whole GameStop congressional hearings. But before we do that, we need to talk about Masterworks, because we know that the Fed has committed to keeping interest rates low. We've talked about this. They're doing their best, although not winning this game, which means that bond yields, which are already at record lows, will continue to stay pretty low, close to 0% for a while. And just look at what you can get in your savings account, which is pretty much nothing. So with the stock market trading near all-time highs, a lot of sophisticated investors are taking some chips off the table. And they're asking themselves, well, where should I put this hard-earned wealth? Well, according to a new report from Citi Private Bank, contemporary art returned 13.6% per year over the last 25 years. Now, you compare that with 8.6% per year for the S&P 500. And art also has a lower loss rate than gold, with almost no correlation to the stock market. So Masterworks.io is the first and only platform that lets you invest in blue chip art from artists like Monet and Basquiat. And recently, Masterworks.io sold their first Banksy masterpiece for a 32% return net of fees to investors. So if you want to learn more, head over to Masterworks.io and use promo code DHU to skip their 15,000-person wait list. And again, that's Masterworks.io, promo code DHU. You need to also see important information at Masterworks.io/disclaimer. Art. You like art?
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think this is a good idea, this company.
Their website's really cool, too. Got to check that out. I'm also going to tease that we got a few limericks in tonight. I think you'll want to stick around to hear some of these, because we have a surprise guest. You can guess all you want who that is, but there's some interesting limericks coming towards the end of the show. Apple approached.
does Apple seem kind of panicky here?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I want to introduce one little extra fact to the story.
Yep.
Which is, do you remember when Apple, was it almost 10 years ago, where Apple was supposedly developing a car behind some fence? I think it's when Steve Jobs was still alive.
Yep. There was some kind of operation, secret, double secret operation.
Yeah. And then they canned it, and then now all of a sudden they're back in the business. What happened?
I don't know. I mean, they've been going after, it seems that they go after a car company, and then there's all of a sudden, like Kia, and there's a release of it, and they're like, nope, we're not doing it. All discussions are off. Well, now they approached Japan's Nissan Motors in recent months to have a tie-up for its autonomous car project, but the talks ended after a disagreement over branding. It seems that Apple asks Nissan basically to private label it so that Apple would be the Apple branding on the car. A demand that was seen effectively making the automaker, Nissan, just a hardware supplier. No, that's no good.
Why not?
I don't know. They didn't like it. They wanted their name on it. There's the Apple car. Even though everybody would know it's named by Nissan.
It'd sell a lot more than Nissan's selling.
Do
they want to sell cars, or do they want to just you know, they want to just be, have bragging rights. I mean, what is their, what business are they in? Are they in the business of making money?
I think it's all about, I don't even know. I don't know what the point is, all of this. I don't know the why the announcements, the stocks run up, the stocks come back down. I don't understand what the whole thing is here, but it does seem a little bit odd, this whole tie up discussions. But the question is, who else are they going to come out with? I mean, they're not going to do Ford. They're not going to do GM. Land Rover? No. I mean, that's a, you know, a gas guzzler.
No, they have to find someone that can make these cars. And there's only a few companies. That's Toyota, BMW. They could do something overseas. Ford, General Motors, Chrysler. I don't think so. Toyota, I said Toyota, Nissan, and I don't know who else.
Maybe they'll have
I know who else.
Who?
That Neom or whatever the name of that company is in China, the number one Neo. Electric car maker.
Yeah, Neo. But Neo has their thing.
Neo.
That they work with somebody there. They're selling it already. The problem is they need the manufacturing capabilities, right? They need to be able to turn these out. So you can't go to like a company like a Fisker or a Lucid because they don't have the production capabilities. They'd have to build it up.
Neither does Tesla, for that matter.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing here. I don't know how this is working. Kind of crazy. GameStop, the YouTube streamer known as Roaring Kitty, who helped to drive a surge in the interest in GameStop stock, will testify before a House panel on Thursday. Was that this week? I think it's this week. Alongside top hedge fund managers like the guys from... Melvin Capital, and I think there's a couple other ones. Citadel. The guy from Roaring Kitty, his name is Keith Gill. He's from Boston. He's some, you know, some guy that worked for Mass Mutual Life Insurance that he said he was licensed with, but they said he wasn't. And there's a whole, what is the point of this whole House Financial Services Committee? Is it one of these just show things again to say, hey,
show trial.
So we want to make sure it looks like we have an interest in all this.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. But it's going to be kind of interesting, I think, where you have the Reddit chief executive, Steve Huffman, will be there, and Gabriel Plotkin will be there from Melvin Capital, Ken Griffin, and this YouTube guy that wears a red bandana.
I love these guys. Hey, buddy,
right.
Check the calendar.
Yeah. Morgan Stanley, Bitcoin. Morgan Stanley is weighing, putting and adding the digital currency to a list of possible bets that will be available for their clients. And a company called Counterpoint Global, which is a $150 billion investing arm of Morgan Stanley, is exploring whether the cryptocurrency would be suitable and a suitable option for its investors. You know, this whole thing of companies trying to get headlines from putting their name related to pot something or other or blockchain or .com.
Yeah, do you remember that when that one company that was just a dead company that says they're going to start using blockchain?
Yeah, blockchain.
You don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
And the stock skyrocketed.
This was the same kind of thing, I think, going on here, that they're doing two things. First, it's pushing money into the crypto space because it's all about, you know, the mentions. And it's also priming these companies to stay more relevant and hip. Then you have the city of Miami, where they're seeking to embrace Bitcoin in its operations, a move that could bring dividends in terms of attracting technology companies.
Why?
This mayor here, this mayor Francis Suarez, he's doing everything he can to make Miami a tech hub. And somehow, you know, you start dangling this
idea.
Miami's
never going to be a tech hub. It's a party town.
It is. The city commissioner approved late Thursday in a 4-1 vote, the first step with the mayor's proposal to allow Bitcoin to be used to pay city workers and for city residents and businesses to make
fiasco waiting to happen.
Fee and tax payments. This is unbelievable to me because I started thinking about this, and right on the heels of this, and where it really got me going, was this idea that Broward County is also wondering if they could use this for tax payments. And I started thinking, why don't they just take barrels of oil or gold? Why are they focusing on Bitcoin? And doesn't this need taxpayer approval? And what if they start taking this money in and they use it for their budget? and they don't convert it, because that would be the plan. If you just take the Bitcoin, who cares? If you take the Bitcoin, immediately turn it into dollars, what was the point of all that?
Yeah.
You know, and somebody this weekend was on the Twitter, and they were saying, you know, it's Monday, and it's a holiday. And you know what? Your investments are locked up. You can't move them if you want to, because markets are closed. And, you know, if you want to move around some money, you know, you can't do it because banks are closed. And I'm thinking, wait, hold up. If I want to move money right now, I can send you money through Zelle. I can't wire you money, but I could do all sorts of other ways of getting you money. I can go to an ATM, get cash. I can pay you by a credit card.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things.
What are they even talking about? And people are like, Bitcoin. It's open 24/7. I could send money around. I could send money any time of day to anybody I want. I could do it through PayPal. I could do it through TransferWise for out of the country. What are they talking about?
It's beyond me. There's some mania. This is like mass hysteria, another example.
I like when you say that. That's exactly what it is. It's your mass hysteria thesis that people are following along. Yeah, man, the mark. Like it's President's Day, and I have this urge. I need to transfer all my assets, all my stock holdings from Schwab to Morgan Stanley today, and I can't do it. Like, oh, so cares if you can't do it today? It's still sitting in your account, and I'm not going to send you. If you say to me, hey, do me a favor. You call me. Hey, I need to borrow $10,000. I'm be like, all right, you know what? It's President's Day. I can't send you my Apple stock. Sorry. I'll have to wait till Tuesday. Yeah, what kind of crap? It's just so stupid.
Well, it's not over yet.
Not over yet. We have Mac Cheeseflation. Yep. Kraft Heinz Company and Conagra Brands said they may choose to raise prices this year on some products that use wheat, sugar, and other commodities that are becoming increasingly expensive due to high demand. Conagra, they told Reuters that the higher prices for some ingredients, including edible oils, pork, and eggs, and for packaging, may prompt it to raise prices to offset the increases this year. Mm. Remember, there's no inflation, but everything costs more.
Yeah, how's that work?
Pretty amazing. Now, Twitter, if you've been following this story, Sir Jack said this week that the company is exploring allowing its users to receive tips or digital payments from their followers. He said this feature will help the social media platform earn more money and engagement from its base of 192 million daily users. So let's kind of dissect that. He said that he's going to allow some of its users to receive tips or payments, right? From the followers. He also said it's somehow going to help the social media platform earn more money. So
well, they're taking a piece of the action.
That's what they're doing, aren't they? So why would anybody want to do that?
Well, I bet you people would want to do it because, oh, I've always liked reading your tweets. I'm going to give you a nickel, a dime, a dollar. They've already been playing with this kind of thing a little bit on you. I mean, YouTube has this thing where you can do these live streams and you can give money.
Yeah, right.
I think they're taking a chunk of that, aren't they?
I don't know. You usually get a secondary tip jar that plugs in and you bring that in with one of your programs.
Know how that works. Do you do that?
I know you can do it. I don't do it, but I know you can do it.
I want to do it with my food blog.
You know, they use something called OBS Studio, and OBS Studio has all these plugins for different things, and you can use a tip jar, and you tell people to go over here, click this link, and then it shows up on your stream as you're doing it. Hmm. So they said introducing the user tipping as new features like content subscriptions would help the company diversify its revenue.
Content subscriptions for what?
So in other words, I'd have a subscriber login for some of my tweets.
I like Andrew's tweets. Let me subscribe. I can see them anyway. Just go to your thing, click on it, boom, I can see all your tweets.
The whole thing's weird. The whole thing's weird, but you know,
I think the guy's stoned.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I would much rather them just say, because they can't do this. God forbid they do this. You know, We're going to do what other places like a Netflix does. We're going to have a subscription and you won't get the ads. Just do that. People will pay for that. They won't do that, though.
I don't think they'll do that. Because they're not going to. And I'll tell you why. I don't think the Twitter ads are that that bad.
You just scroll through them. It's easy enough.
Yeah, they just show up. It's a little bitty thing. Sometimes it's kind of interesting. And then once in a while, there's a scam ad, which is for some products. And there's one recently I saw. It's like a company that's a scammer.
Let me just take a quick break because the chat room is apoplectic right now. They want to know what food blog.
I don't have it. I want to do a food video blog.
Oh.
People know about that. I've talked about it on the Twitter, on the No Agenda show. It's going to be a wine. And, you know, so people always ask you, what about the Costco wine? What's there now? Ah. And so they always have these things. And I have a lot of stuff to talk about on a food blog. And it'd just be a food blog, a video food blog, where we do questions. I would have to have a stream on the side with a live audience to asking questions and interacting.
You'd be cooking or you'd be sipping?
No. Tasting? I'm just talking. I'm not cooking.
You're going to have guests? I'll be a guest.
I don't have plans for guests yet. I'm going to be one of those talking heads. You see, and there's all kinds of those guys.
Gotcha.
I'd be one of them.
We have so much more to talk about, but so little time here. Do we talk about the cancel rename culture where Pepsi said that they changed their pancake and syrup products under the name of Aunt Jemima to the Pearl Milling Company.
It's dumb.
Now people are saying that's no good. It sounds like a plantation. Like the Pearl Miller plantation.
Yeah, it actually sounds more like a plantation than Aunt Jemima. Ridiculous. That is funny. That's a good comeback.
I do like Pepsi, by the way, at these levels after their earnings 3% yield. Just a side note there. All right, let's see. Those are good. Twitter earnings came out, posted 27% user growth, which missed Wall Street estimates, warned that the rate would slow even further in upcoming quarters as the boost from the pandemic fizzles.
I don't believe these numbers.
But they beat on this, they beat on that. Stock was up humongously.
It's a 50-cent stock.
Yeah. Last thing on this section is an update. Citigroup, I don't know if you remember the story, but they inadvertently and mistakenly sent $500 million to an account. And the other guys are like, what $500 million? I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Me?
So it seems that after this blunder, the U.S. District Judge Jesse Furman in New York said on Tuesday that, no, you don't have to return the money. So.
Well, that would be a nice payday.
Hey, like that.
Well, I mean, Citibank will hire a couple of goons to beat the guy up and threaten his family with a gun. Yep. That's the only way you're going to get your money back.
Yep. By the way, thank you so much for your donations. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being there for us. We'll always be there for you. You go over to the show notes page or dhunplug.com. Click on the little yellow button and just click on it. Now, we also have an announcement, big announcement. We have the close to the pin for Halliburton, which is now open for entries. Symbol H-A-L. Which is an oil refining or oil services company. Oil services, I guess, a better way to look at it. But all the information about Halliburton, a chart, everything's there. Just add your price guess. The dates of when you could do so are on the site over at DH Unplugged. And you have a chance to win a great T-shirt as well as be in the running for the Close to the Pin for next year.
Yep.
Larry King, we'll leave that, I guess. He passed away, that guy. Okay. Oh, we have limericks.
Yeah.
We have limericks. Am I reading limericks or you?
Well, I did three limericks, if anyone wants to know.
John C. Dvorak wrote.
Now, these are just preliminary limericks. I will get into the groove and do some real killers later.
Yeah, these are just to feel it out, to get in the
I'm just flexing my muscles. They ache. I'm going to have you read it because it's only fair.
Only fair.
Because you've been reading all the other ones, you know, on and off, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Figure, well, you know, what am I going to do? I can read them. I know the limericks. I wrote them. So, okay.
All right, here we go. Here's my butcher job. I mean, my reading of the limericks. First one coming in from John C. Dvorak. Writing Fed limericks for fun isn't hard. It's like cooking red beets, kale, or chard. The trouble comes in when the critics begin to send these little ditties to the boneyard. So, by the way, that last line is a little tough. I would say to bury these ditties in the yard.
Well, that'd be too short. I got to have the same length as those two first two lines.
It's like cooking red beets, the kale, or chard. To send these ditties to the boneyard. All right, what do you think? We got B minuses. We got B minuses. We got hmms. Got to go on because we got two more to go. That was good. Got a C, Tom. Tom's rough. Don't forget, you got a lot of people that you made enemies of.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
B minuses, B, B, B. Okay, next. Next one. The test for Fed limericks is fun, especially if you're including a pun. A moment is near and you'll toast a beer the day that yelling is done. Ooh. That was a good one. That was good. I thought that was good. That just rolled. That just flowed. It was all
That's
the right
rhythm.
Yeah, it
rhythm.
Was all the it was the right rhythm. It didn't listen, if it didn't, it didn't trip me up. So that was good. All right, we're waiting on the chat room. B plus, perfect. We got a perfect. It did not disappoint. Did not disappoint. All right, the last one here, which is starting with a classic beginning. There once was a man named Jerome. He called the big bank his home. At the top of his game, he did grow to fame by using his brain in... I fucked it up. Excuse me. There once was a man named Jerome. He called the big bank his home. At the top of his game, he did grow to fame by using the brain in his dome.
Boom.
Yep. Very nice.
Perfect word counts and everything.
It was great. The first one I would have changed that last line. I didn't like the last line. I'll be honest, didn't like it.
What, the boneyard?
Didn't like the boneyard. To send these ditties to the boneyard. I was just working.
I thought the first one was the weak sister.
I think the second one was the bomb diggity. We have one from Chris Baston. Dvorak Weekly has said he'll rhyme one aimed at the Fed. It gives me the shivers that if he delivers, it will be after I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, you're not dead yet, Chris.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's cute.
What are you giving? You got to score that one.
Oh, I'll give that one a B.
A B. All right, here we go. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. Yeah, so we have a nice list here as we've had.
Yeah, this list is just bright green.
Now, let me just tell you something. That MJ ETF that was the world winner of all winners.
Yeah, I think it was the winner of the decade.
It was like up 175 when we talked about it last week. Then it was up 195 and then got stopped out.
Oh, that's too bad.
So it's only up 141%.
Yeah, only.
Mm. We got the GameStop.
Now you got to find another one. That's
I do.
That good.
I know.
Good luck.
A lot of pressure. GameStop short is up 55.8%. The usual suspects, the Train Technologies up 68%, FCA Bancorp up 62%. What else we got? Summit 42%, Medtronic 55%, NXP Semiconductors up 22%. ProPhase Labs, one of your recent picks, down 7%. Gold doing nothing, down 6%.
Yeah, gold is really a disappointment.
Real disappointment. I should have picked silver. Luminar Tech, we picked it last week. It was up like 9% until today, which was down 5.5%, but it's still up 3.25%. And I have one pick this week. It's PetMed Express. It seems people are all a flutter about their pets, and everybody's getting a pet.
Yeah, this may be a good pick. I think you're onto something here.
You know, everybody loves their pets, and they got to, you know, they got to deworm them, and they got to give them the tick medicine. And, you know, if they have now, you know, pets can have mental issues.
Yeah,
and you got
to
give
they
them,
all do.
Yeah, you got well. depending on who your master and owner is, I guess. But you know, they have drugs for that now, and high blood pressure. And you know, the old days, way back, it's your dog was experiencing a problem. It's like, okay, he's done. Now it's like, you know, if he has, God forbid, some kind of horrible disease, you know, $8,000 for surgery or some pills that'll take forever. I'll tell you a quick story about a dog. You want to hear this story?
Yeah, sure.
So I had a golden retriever, great dog. Penny was her name. And one day, late in her days, Penny started having these seizures. Brought her to the doctor. She would just be lay on the ground and make all sorts of whatever. And it was kind of a weird smell came out of her, to be honest with you. It was weird. So I took her to the doctor. And the doctor says, oh, well, this is kind of common late stage of Goldens. They get some kind of brain thing going on and they get these seizures. But you know what we're going to do? She's still, you know, good dog. She's doing well. What we're going to do is we're going to give you this medicine. And when she has a seizure, he shows me this like syringe. I want you to give her this. And that will calm her down. I said, doctor, I mean, I don't understand something. It's my understanding when someone is having a seizure, you don't want to put your hands near their mouth and giving this medicine. He says to me, whoever said about putting it in her mouth?
Huh. Well, there was a whole Family Guy episode about this exact same topic.
Was there? Must have heard me talk about it. Yep. What do you got for this week?
I don't really have anything good, but I do have this. I want to at least play it and see how it does.
All right.
This is IEA. A lot of insiders have been buying it. Infrastructure and Energy Alternatives. It's kind of the solar kind of thing. Infrastructure play. They build stuff.
It's a ETF.
Yes. Yeah, it is an ETF.
Yep.
Okay. And it is – the chart shows the Bollinger Band's about to converge.
Oh.
Pretty much about where it's priced now. And the low and high of these two moving averages and the high and the lows seems to have a downside potential of around 1550, which will kick me off, but I hope it doesn't go that far. But I think it's going to break out. Insiders are buying it.
So chart and insiders. I just remembered the date issue. Remember, I started the show saying something about this date. Something about this date is bugging me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Sharon's birthday.
Well, it's a good thing you remembered. Jeez.
Yep. Tomorrow is Sister Sharon's birthday. So, there we go.
I guess you just celebrate her birthday on Valentine's Day. You don't have to worry about these sorts of things.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to end it right there. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, John C. Dvorak, for your efforts on the limericks. A lot of people are very excited about that. Thank you so much.
More to come.
All right, see you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz and Company.